All right, everybody, welcome back to the Reawakening Podcast. I'm Brian Ingraham, and though I may not sound like Brian Ingraham today, I am a bit under the weather. I think you can handle it. I can handle it. Trust me, this is me, and I'm excited to be here today because it is my passion, it is my heart to see our whole generation reawaken to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. And I believe that this is possible for you, and I've been spending this podcast over the years talking about different ways that I believe that we can be intentional about cultivating our heart to be fresh and close to Jesus. And now in this season, I'm bringing in different people because I want to learn from other people, as we all do, and I want to hear their stories about living reawakened lives in Jesus, and I want to glean from their stories and their experience. You've heard a lot about my stories, and there's more stories to come, but during this time, I'm excited to specifically today hear from our pastor, Buchan Lennon, who leads a Rehope Church Paisley in Paisley, Scotland. Very, very fun story of how I met Buck, and he applied for the job. Jesus had given us this location in Scotland, and there's a great story behind that. No time for that right now. He gave us a building, but we didn't have anybody to oversee the location, and you know, just praying about it and curious, and man, like, God, who are you gonna bring? And a month goes by, 2 months goes by. I think it was several months after kind of working on this location that eventually I get this application from some guy named Buchan Lennon, and I'm like, who is this guy? And just what a treasure it has been to have him come onto staff and lead the team. So man, lead the team out in Paisley. Very excited to have you hear from him today, and just how God's been at work in his story. Buchan, is there anything else you want to say about you, or like just the beginning of just kind of introduction wise?
Yeah. So hello everyone. I'm Buchan. I am from Scotland, and to echo what Brian said, it has been quite an adventure coming on board at Rehope Church and seeing God do great things in Paisley. And as part of my introduction, I'm an Arsenal fan. Morning, Arsenal.
Okay, wow. Some people will be really excited about that, and some people will be, you've just instantly, so as part of reawakening, like drawing lines and so that people instantly love you or hate you or something like that. That's fun. All right, good. So today you've got a couple stories about just significant moments in your life where God just meets you in certain ways and kind of lessons you've learned about that. I love your story, and I love what God's been doing in your life. But what would you say is like kind of your first kind of story that you want to share today about Jesus moment?
Yeah, I think it makes sense to work chronologically. And just to set up the context, so my background is one of the entertainment industry. I was a professional actor for quite a wee while, and that kind of interweaves throughout my Jesus story, and we come to the climax of that a wee bit later on. But I would probably pick up my first moment of reawakening back in 2007. I am 18 years old and growing up in the west of Scotland. And I used to be part of a church. My understanding of who God was very much a religious understanding. So for me, it was, well, if I do this and if I try not do this, and sure, if I try and read the Bible and pray, then hopefully I'll get God's acceptance. But something happened at 18 years old where there was a woman from an organization in Uganda had came to our church to talk to us about her organization. She looked after former street children. And she only spoke for 20 minutes. And naive me was absolutely captured by what she had to say. My introduction to, I'd never met this woman. Introduction to this woman was, hi, my name's Buchan and I want to go to Uganda. And she laughed it off. But within 24 hours, this woman was in my family home speaking to my parents about me going to Uganda. So 6 months later, I find myself in Uganda. So I was directing a musical with some former street kids, which was part of her charity organization looking after street children. And so I go out there at the naive age of 18 years old, and my first reawakening begins with Jesus Christ. Going out to Uganda and seeing their understanding of who Jesus is changed me radically. I saw Jesus on billboards, on the back of buses, everywhere. This was the first time in my life I saw queues for getting into church. And just people's excitement and joy and need for Jesus, I didn't understand it, but I wanted it, because I had, my limited understanding was, well, as long as you believe in God, that's it, full stop. But what these guys had was so much more. So I go on this journey, and I was there for quite a while. And my first reawakening moment is actually one of intimacy between me and God. I remember having a conversation with one of the guys in the team about where I was with God, and I struggled to hear from God, and they had given me some scriptures, and yeah, I mean, I had a Bible, so I remember after that conversation going to bed, my wee mosquito net and my torch, and just reading some of these scriptures. But the one scripture is a very popular scripture, but means a lot to me, is Jeremiah 29:11. For I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. It was the first time in my life God spoke to me. And from that moment, I discovered what it was to have fire in my belly. Something changed that night. I couldn't put it into words, but I woke up knowing something more about who Jesus was.
Okay, so you said, now I like to hit this on this podcast. You said it's the first time in your life that God spoke to you.
Yeah.
So how did you know? How did you know it was that God was speaking to you, like, in that moment?
There was something about affirmation in those words. Those words spoke to me in a way that only someone who really knew me knew. Like, those words spoke my language in a way that I needed to hear it at that time. It's just that 18, you don't realize that. But there was something about those words lifted off the page and spoke to me in a way that was the first time security of my own future. Because, you know, you're 18 years old, there's a lot of challenges growing up in the west of Scotland at 18 years old of what you're going to do with your life. And I mean, I had these insane dreams of being a successful actor at 18, and so I'm on that path, you know. I'm going to play Denzel Washington's son one day. That was my dream. So to get those words of stability and love and don't worry, I've got this, it spoke to me in a way that no one at that point in life could.
So, I mean, the words are coming through, but you're also just, it's like you just know.
Yeah.
Like, you just know in the inside, oh, this is something more than just.
So I at this stage, I still don't understand the whole relationship, terminology, the language. I just had, I guess, an encounter with God in that moment where there was, looking back, it was father-son affirmation moment. I just didn't have the language to put it like that at the time, but I could feel it. It was alive. And I came back from Uganda on fire for Jesus.
Yeah, and so you're fired up because it's like you had a profound Jesus moment. And you were you looking for it, or it just kind of hit you? You were out there serving Jesus. You're like going for it. You don't even hardly have that close, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like relationship with Jesus.
And no,
then,
I didn't.
And then it's like, wham, you're out there serving, and then God meets you as you stepped out in that situation. And
I thought I had it. I thought I knew it. I thought it was just about believing in God, and that's it. So I was speaking with all of these Christians, like, yeah, I'm a believer, yeah. But I had no idea that there was so much more to come. I was completely unaware of God's love.
It just amazes me how many times people are like just waiting. Like I'm waiting, but you're not really intentional. You are wired for action. You are wired to lean forward and to make things happen. But it's amazing how God so often breaks through in moments when we're on the way, when we're leaning forward, and we might not be seeking or even know what we're seeking, but like so often people are just like hanging back. God, I'm just waiting for you to inspire me or to meet with me. But you were out there, you left, you went to Uganda, you're out there serving. And in that context, Jesus meets with you. I know this is not my story, it's your story. I am thinking also just like serving at Lakeside Bible Camp as a kid and just being at camp and the powerful Jesus moments when I'm at camp as a kid, just I'm out there. I'm not sitting back and just kind of waiting for something, but serving, and then Jesus meets me along the way. That's cool. That's great.
Yeah, and so Uganda is a real landmark in my walk with reawakening. I woke up from religion to relationship, looking back, and as we fast forward it, I then discover the whole concept of salvation and relationship and what Jesus properly did for me and inviting Jesus as my own Lord and Savior. And so I went through the process, but I can say my first love for Jesus was in a wee room in Uganda with under my mosquito net, and God talks to me.
I love it. I love it. Wow. Okay. So that's your first story.
So I'd say that was my first reawakening moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
What about another one? Another moment in your life where you're like, God's breakthrough of some sort.
So reawakening moment for me. I mean, I would say we're around about 2017. Thereabouts, 2017, I had been asked to lead a team, and I'm in London helping plant a church down there, and we had a team of people come down. And if there's one thing that I love about walking with Jesus is that feeling of being uncomfortable for him. And I'll tell you this story and explain more what that looks like.
Did you just say that you love the feeling of being uncomfortable?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Because there's something, I mean, I don't love it at the time because you feel out of your depth, out of your comfort zone. There is elements of fear that's just swinging around. But in that place is where you see great moves of God. I have to admit that. I have never seen great moves of God from a place of comfort. There's something about when I put myself out there for him, he cannot help but bless. He cannot help but show me a perspective of him that makes me go, wow. And I've seen that quite a few times. I've not got too much into it, but when I was at uni, one of my lecturers, I led him to the Lord, and just having these crazy conversations, and it's like, well, are you going to ask him or not? And you get those sweaty palm syndrome. And so all of that is the discomfort. But when you see like your lecturer say, yeah, okay, and then you find yourself leading him the prayer to invite him into Jesus, the conclusion is, wow, did that just happen? Anyway, so 2017, we're in London. And a team of us go out to do some evangelizing. And for those that know London, we went to an area called Whitechapel. And Whitechapel, I understand, in Christian history is quite significant. I believe that's where William and Catherine Booth first established the Salvation Army. So we go there, and we wanted to tell people about Jesus. When we arrived, we noticed that it was significantly full of Muslims, and we're like, wow, okay, we can either turn back or we can do what we were called to do. So we're at Whitechapel, and you know, full of people, and we as a team, we decided we're going to preach the gospel. So we're out there in the middle of a Muslim community, and we start preaching the gospel. And we're very deliberate in our language because we understand our Muslim friends have a different understanding of who Jesus is. So we were very specific on Jesus Christ as Lord. And you, honestly, some people would call this stupid. I understand why you would say that. But you are watching your back. You are watching your back. You're just waiting for a reaction as people are going by. You're communicating. You're talking to them about Jesus. But you know, people were open. The conclusion of the story is no one gets saved. But the boldness to get out there and tell people about Jesus in an environment that's not normal. For me, even though no one gets saved, that is a reawakening moment because there's something about tapping into boldness for Jesus that ignites a reawakening in me. I cannot sit on a sofa and be comfortable with Jesus and continue to have that fire in my belly. There's something about when I put myself out there, when I do something that makes me uncomfortable for Jesus, it ignites passion, it ignites energy, it ignites essentially a reawakening.
And it's amazing because we tend to, as people, like not want to have the push myself to the limits sort of thing. I prefer, at least personally, I would like it in my carnal thinking, sorry, my voice is cracking because I'm saying, in my normal thinking, like I would prefer like, oh, just not faith test moments, right? Mm-hmm. But it's, you're right. It's those bold Jesus moments where you're living out there and you're taking the risks and you're living on the edge where there is a, I don't know what you call it, like a holy confirmation or like just a Jesus, like his spirit kind of comes along and just like, I'm with you and I'm in this and I'm shining on you in your faith challenge and your stretching moment as you're risking for me. And man, it's fun, I guess, to feel fired up as you're, I mean, living on the edge.
We don't need to go to Muslim communities and tell them about Jesus to experience boldness. For me, this reawakening of who Jesus is through boldness came in huge and in small moments. And for us, for those listening, it's applicable in those moments when the Holy Spirit says to you, go and tell that person I love them. And just that feeling of sweaty palms, this is uncomfortable, what's that person going to say? We all go through it. But the fruit is on the other side of that obedience. And, you know, very common where you, before I would be on, I would go out on the streets, tell people about Jesus, and on my way back home on public transport, the Holy Spirit said, right, go and tell that person Jesus loves him. And, okay, you do it. You don't know what to expect. And then you get a response. And then you're leading them to the Lord. And it's like, wow. And it comes from that obedience, but that obedience does require boldness. And so whoever the Holy Spirit is encouraging you to speak to, whether it's at work or whether it's a complete stranger, the reawakening is on the other side of the obedience. That boldness just to say whatever you need to say, do whatever you need to do, or seeing someone, can I pray for you? You know, anything like that is a real source of reawakening and fire for Jesus.
So what would you say to somebody who has kind of spent their whole journey of faith shying away from those kind of moments and where they would be like, okay, I mean, they feel them. I think we all feel those moments because the Holy Spirit has got opportunities and situations and sometimes we miss them. And I suppose with each person, it's, and how bold they are, like some will miss more and some mm-hmm. will miss less. But if somebody is like pretty much practiced and be like dodging those moments or just like, okay, I feel them and say no, and I feel bad and I repent later. How do you start being more proactive and overcoming those sweaty palm moments as you're talking about them? And to be someone who is just like, okay, I'm gonna go for it, even though like everything in me is kind of freaking out.
There's so many things to be said in this topic, and yes, you could go through various amounts of practices such as pray more, fast, all of these things. But for me, I have to simplify it. And for me, I go through this process. It's quite simple. Act now, think later. It's as simple as that, where as soon as the command is there, just do it. And then think about it later. Because if I think then act, it's never going to happen, because my mind will justify a million and one reasons not to do the thing that God is asking me to do. And so before I give my mind that opportunity, just do it.
Love it. Love it. It's so true. Like I've been there before. Like the more I think about it, the harder to overcome the growing fear and anxieties. Yeah. I like it. Act now, think later.
Act now, think later. Yeah. And you will be blessed.
Great. Good. Anything else you want to say about this story? You want to hit your next story?
I'd say that's it. The boldness has been a real key for reawakening. My next story is for me. So I'm what? Oh my days. At one point you lose the year count, don't you? 2009. So is that what 14 years? Is it 14 years? 14 years. So I'm 14 years walking with Jesus. And I would say this next moment is probably one of the most significant anchors next to me actually inviting Jesus into my life. So this is 2018, and 2018 is a year of challenge for sure. 2018 was the year where I decided it was time for me to move on from the acting industry. Some of you may know my story of being on stage in London, experiencing that utter emptiness whilst there's a standing ovation, and bringing that before God. And God tells me, okay, we're done here. We're done with acting. And so my career was very much going from strength to strength, but it was time to bow out. Lots of stuff going on in my own personal life, all of that kind of thing. Heart stuff's not in the right place. Insecurities are just all over the place. I wasn't in a good place. So 2018 comes to an end, and I find myself in the north of Scotland. And I had been on this journey with God for a while, in terms of, God, what do you want me to do next? What do you want me to do next? What do you want me to do next? And I'm there, and I decide to go for a walk in the Highlands. So I'm there in the Highlands, and I call out to God. And it was different this time. This time was different because, having just gone through the stuff that I was going through and still going through, I was experiencing something that in all the years that I'd walked with Jesus, it was never this bad. And I'm sure people listening can relate. And that was emptiness. Not emptiness in terms of I feel distant from God. Emptiness in terms of I've got nothing to give. My inadequacies, my insecurities were just winning the battle. And waking up without feeling you have purpose in life is a really scary place. And I was there. So that place of emptiness, I find giving it to God. But it was different because, again, I prayed that prayer of, God, help me, I need purpose, help me, Lord, help me. But it suddenly dawned on me what was required in that moment. Surrender. Up until that moment, sure, I had been speaking with God and trying to walk in obedience, but I hadn't realized I hadn't given him full control. And I've prayed that prayer of, your will, Lord, not mine. But there was something really significant about this point of surrender where, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, I said, it is yours. I remember on my knees and in tears, but good tears as a response to the declaration I was making, my life is in your hands. And I knew it was genuine because I had no plan afterwards. It wasn't like I said these words and then, right, what's the plan? It's like you says, Brian, I like to make things happen. I'm a doer. But there was something really significant about that moment of surrender where afterwards I waited. What's next, God? And so for me, that was my one of my most significant reawakening moments, because it was the first time I said, not me, but you. Let me follow you.
So I gotta know what happened. Like, so you had that Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, then did was there like a whoosh of like God spirit shows up and you're in the north of Scotland and I don't know.
In the moment, through the snot and tears, not much peace. Like, God had heard me. God had heard me, and it was in his hands as to what the next step was, because that's the commitment I'd made. It was full surrender. Unfortunately, life gets worse before it gets better. But this was the first time my word to God was more important than anything. Through those tough times, I was drawn back to that moment in the Highlands. I've surrendered. So I don't make the next step. He does. And so, through the tough times, do you know what God's first thought was in the surrender? It wasn't plans. It wasn't vision. It wasn't, right, I'm sending you there. It was actually, it's time to fix you, Buchan. It's time for me to bring Jesus into those insecurities. It's time to bring Jesus into those inadequacies. It's time to mold you into the son that I'm calling you to be. And you know what's beautiful, Brian? You know the first step of surrender? Identity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How is it that you brought, what was it like to bring Jesus into insecurity?
Oh, that, I don't want to say it lightly, but it's a scary place. And again, I can clearly recall those moments where when you're dealing with your inside stuff and there's areas of your place, that of your heart that you just don't have the courage to go to. But then Jesus says, go on, go on, go on. And then when you open that door and you feel the anguish, the pain, the grief, then you discover Jesus there. Oh my, off. Again, and for some reason, we discover the most powerful moments with our Lord and Savior in pain. And no one will ever take that moment away from me. When I opened that scary door inside and he was just there with me, it was an empowering moment. And I don't say that lightly. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So if you're going to give advice to people in moments about like, okay, here I am and I want to go from here to feeling more fresh and alive with Jesus, what I'm hearing you say is if you're in a time of pain, then invite Jesus in to those insecurities and pains. If you're in a time of I don't want to say passivity, but a calm season, to lean in, to step out in bold ways. And anything else you'd be
So the key in all that what you said there is being aware of who's in control. We can even control our counseling process with Jesus. You know, we can decide, right, I'm going to decide to work on this. But when we give full control to Jesus, you know what the Holy Spirit does? He reveals them to you. And when he reveals them to you, he does it in a way where you'll feel you're not ready. Well, you're not supposed to be. Because the whole idea is you not being ready means you need to then trust the Holy Spirit. And as you trust the Holy Spirit, he'll give you everything you need. And as you open that door to everything you need, you will then discover the remedy sitting there. Jesus Christ. And so for me, the solution or the advice is always be aware of who's in control. Are you in control or is Jesus in control?
Do you feel like you could give us a challenge? Like if you were going to challenge us to kind of lean forward, maybe a few different situations, but what challenge would you give us to help us to kind of go from where we're at?
That's a great question. A challenge that I would give for people who want more of Jesus and are struggling to do that. Scan your heart and be honest with yourself and be honest with Jesus. I would say that's the challenge, because the moment we're honest with ourselves, just like for me back in 2018, I had to be honest with myself. And being honest with myself and presenting that before Jesus actually was the first time Jesus could move in my life. So my challenge would be, go to that place and ask yourself the big questions. Where is my heart at? Yeah, I'd probably say that would be the challenge.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for your stories. And just to let us into your story a bit and to learn and to glean. Because we're here, we're listening to this podcast and we're listening to you because we want to live fresh. And we don't want to become just slipping into just passive following Jesus or just going through the years and stuff. But we want to lean in as a people and from wherever our starting point is now. Friends, if you've been listening today and people have come to your mind like, oh, I wish so-and-so could hear this, or this seems like what my friend or that guy that I know needs to hear, send this to them. Send them a link so that I believe if this meant something to you, that it's going to mean something to other people. So we'd appreciate it if you got the word out about this Buckin' story here and that. If you want to, if you'd be willing to rate and review this podcast, that would be great. Subscribe if you haven't already. Again, with this podcast, it is my heart to see our whole generation reawaken to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. Some people can fumble through this path alone, but everyone does better with help.